It's O'Neill Outside. On News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. For fishing and hunting or anything in the great outdoors, O'Neill Williams is your guide. Let's go outside with O'Neill.
Good morning, boys and girls, from the Bojangles studio high in the mountains in North Georgia. This is O'Neill Outside. Welcome to a brand new, unused Saturday morning. Oh, Lord. I hope the second hour goes better. I fouled up about 15 times in the first hour, but get some experience at doing this. We'll be better off. It's 6 minutes after the hour, and Woman Williams is with us now for the second hour of the show, which means you can contact us via Facebook. Almost forgot. Facebook. She handles the Facebook communication, so O'Neill Outside Facebook page. We'll have the radio Medal of Honor tribute, your calls, and so many other things going on, and O'Neill has lots to say, and we hope that you'll join us on the program. WSB, the telephone numbers are 404-872-0750 outside the Atlanta calling area, from California and Washington and all the way through Texas, Nebraska, Oklahoma, St. Louis, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, and the new edition of WEEI in Boston, the number one sports radio station in the country. This is O'Neill Outside. Fantastic, isn't it? Who would have thought it? Well, anyway, number one live outdoor-based radio talk show in the world. So I hope that you'll join us. Without any calls, that gives O'Neill the opportunity to foul up even more. So call, and maybe I can handle them better. Now, let's see. We're not going to have time for this one because, no, we won't. But we have a question floating around out there that we do have a question for, a correct question. And that was, I read a description of a fellow who's a tournament bass angler and a successful outdoorsman who was going to be a doctor in the certain circumstances, changed his mind, and he became a successful angler. And we'll get to the answer to that question when we return. It's 8:30 after the hour. We have a lot of things to do, and we hope that you will join us. Telephone numbers are 404-872-0750 or 800-972-8255 on the SB Nation Radio Network. And this is O'Neill, and we'll be back. Welcome back. 12 after the hour, and we've got a question floating around out there. I have the answer, and we're going to fulfill that. The little segment here is, who is this? And I've described it to you in the first hour and a little bit on the front end. But let's talk now to Dale, is calling from Lithia Springs, Georgia. What a great name. Dale, good morning.
Good morning.
Who was I talking about that didn't like the sight of blood and decided not to be a doctor and be a fisherman instead?
That would be Bill Dance.
How did you know that?
I'm interested in a lot of people. I have one of his books, and I looked him up on the internet on Wiki, and I read the article about him on that at that place, and that's how I found out about him and the answer to that question.
Have you ever, excuse me, have you ever had the opportunity to meet him?
No, sir, I have not. I would really love to, but I have not had that opportunity.
Okay. Well, let me tell you. You may recognize via watching him on television that he's a big guy. He's a big fella. 6'1", probably, and he's getting on up there like me and so many of the guys in this business. I think Bill is 77 years old. But I would tell you that, and I know Bill, and what you see on television, how he acts on television, is him.
Yes, sir.
That's the person he is. And so that's always good to say.
Yes, sir.
He's a nice guy, really, truly nice fellow.
Yes, sir.
And it's interesting, and then I'll let you go, but I have another question for you. But in the first 10 BASS tournaments in back into the 60s, a couple of those tournaments were team tournaments, but out of the first 10 tournaments, Bill Dance's name was on the first place trophy. Yes, six sir. Out of ten. He's an outstanding angler. Okay, a question for you. Do you watch fishing shows?
I'm not able to do it as much as I used to.
Uh-huh. Okay. My question was going to be if you were familiar with the video on demand networks and if you watch the shows there. If you don't, I'll ask elsewhere. You don't know what a video on demand network is, like Waypoint TV, Gen 7, Outdoor Action, and all those?
No, sir, I'm afraid I don't.
Okay. That's quite all right. I appreciate your participation in the program. You got the question right. There is no prize except for the fact that you got to say it on radio.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Good deal. Thank you for calling, sir.
All right.
There we go. Okay. It's 15 after the hour. What have I got going on here? Not much. We need to get to this right away because here's Mac calling with the Ram Fishing Report. Good morning, Mac.
Good morning, O'Neill, and the Hayes Ram Fishing Report's a good one.
Yeah. Oh, good. I love to hear it. Go.
The weather forecast is not a good one. That's a problem. Yeah, no kidding. Anyway, fishing's been really good, and we got a great day today with the weather scenario we have. So you need to go because it all goes downhill for the next couple of days weather-wise after today. But today I think will be a good one. Big front's pushing down on us, had a little stability. Both the stripers and the bass are doing really well, and the crappie woke up a little bit. So, still the one thing that I have to urge everybody to prepare for well enough if you're striper fishing, they're real across the board depth-wise. Most of them are being caught deep. And this applies to most of our lakes. But be prepared. You may see schooling fish. I'd have something tied on to cast. You may have some shallow fish, particularly with this low light and weather pushing in on us. So be prepared to fish deep or shallow. I still think, overall, our best bite up here in most of our lakes is slow trolling the mini-mac. That's a pretty new technique, stealth trolling. That's been really, really effective.
Good.
And I'm getting a lot of questions about that. All the mini-mac is just a small castable umbrella, and we're trolling it just like you would a live bait. A little less than a mile an hour, but just dropping it straight over the side, and it's a little bit of a foreign concept, but that's been a good technique. So have a couple of have a mini-mac in your bait spread today to pay off.
We need to do a show using that.
We do, because it's a really cool technique. It's got a lot of really advantages, a lot of pluses that are hard to explain without a visual concept. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that will make a good show. It's very new,
mini
really
Mac,
catching on.
Huh?
Mm-hmm. It's just a smaller version of an umbrella. It's very subtle, and I think a lot of it has to do with pulling them on a trolling motor instead of a big motor. Very stealthy approach, and yeah, that's opening up some doors.
I see. Very well thought out. And the application is for the entire Southeast, anywhere you can catch a striper.
From what we're seeing, O'Neill, it's not even we can't limit it to that. It's got a lot of saltwater applications. I'm really surprised. And we need to do a show on this, too. Stuff like Spanish mackerel, a lot of inshore fish. A Spanish mackerel particularly is a sucker for a casting umbrella. He's not a hard fish to catch anyway, but the nature of the fish and the way it ambushes and slashes and feeds, those are just perfect for it. But it has some application with trout and redfish. It just goes on and on. So that's a whole – there's a huge range of application there. It's not being used.
Well, we'll get one scheduled here pretty soon, okay?
I think that's a good idea. We'll go to Carabel, where nothing ever...
Oh, boy.
What happens in Carabel never happened, right? So we're going to make something not happen. Yeah,
I like that. I really do. That's good. All right, my good friend. A great report from Ram and Hayes and Mac, Captain Mac. And let everybody how to find you, if you will, please.
You can find us online at Captain Mac, CaptainMacks. We'll be looking
good
for
deal.
You. Go to our Facebook page. You can get an expanded version of this report as well.
Oh, yeah, you do it. Listen, you'd really do a good job with that Facebook report. I got to tell you, that's very informative.
Well, your thank you very much. We'll be
Your sponsors are lucky to have you.
Well, you're a gentleman and a scholar, and we try and make it work, so thank you.
You betcha. Thanks for calling, Mac.
Yep, everybody catch them up. Be safe.
You bet. See you later, my good friend. There you are. 404-872-0750-800-972-8255. I want to give him plenty of time to talk with us. So the first thing I'll go to here is Michael calling from Dalton. Good morning, Michael. What do you say?
How are you, Neil?
Wonderful. How about yourself?
Great. Hey, I just wanted to see what your thoughts were on the duck hunting report this morning.
You know, I swear, I'm completely in the dark.
That makes
what
fun
is the
us.
Duck hunting report this morning?
Well, we got a front coming in. Hopefully, we got some ducks coming from the north.
Yeah, something needs to push them down. All that snow and ice might do it. They come down here to get something to eat, don't they?
Yeah, but they simply turn around when the weather's this warm in January.
So when we have ice above us, it pushes them down here, huh?
Right.
Where's your favorite duck hole?
Oh, I'm going to have to say North Georgia for now.
Okay.
Can't give away the secret, right?
You're sneaky. I tell you what, Travis sends me videos from time to time. He's out in Texas and Oklahoma, and they darken the sky. There's so many of them.
Yeah, I wish it was like that here, but we'll scratch out a few woodies maybe this morning.
There you go. I love shooting those things. That to me, other than maybe an eider, the wood duck drake is the prettiest of all ducks.
Absolutely, it's a treasure here, and I think some of the Yankees up north like them too.
Yeah, yes they do. All right, I gotta go, pal. Listen, call me back next week. Let me know how your trip went, would you?
Absolutely.
Good deal. Love to hear from you. This is O'Neill, 21 and a half after the hour. We got Hank the Yank coming up, and with so many other features in the program. Be in touch with us at O'Neill Outside Facebook page, and Woman Williams can handle that, and we'll be back. One, two, 25 after the hour. This is O'Neill with O'Neill Outside. Where was I? Was I doing anything special? I've lost.
You were his.
Oh, yeah, Hank the Yank is on the line. Hey, thank you, Jason. There he is, Hank the Yank, I think. What do you say?
What up, player?
Did you know that you were in the radio prize package today?
I was. I hope you didn't give me a lead. You know, I don't come cheap. If I'm part of the, if I'm in the package, I don't come cheap.
It was an easy question. Where is Hank the Yank from?
Very simple, New Jersey.
Uh-oh.
I'm kidding.
I can't depend on you for a straight answer about anything anymore.
Well, that's because I like to make Gail giggle.
Yes.
That's why.
It's actually the motherland, isn't it?
Yeah,
the motherland.
The motherland. Brooklyn, huh?
That's right. Forget about it.
you're the greatest, man. Well, how's the fishing? Are you catching any?
Oh, my God. It's been off the charts. We had all this rain. The water on the lake looks so stained in so many areas. And, you know, even us old-timers can learn something. The fish are eating in the dark, stained water, in waters that you would never think of fishing. And we had them up yesterday. I had an hour of fishing yesterday with the fly rod. O'Neill, we probably got 15 bites. We hooked 10 and landed 8 fish in basically 1 hour.
Wow.
Stripers up to 10 pounds on the lake. It was just birds were diving. We had a few fish breaking the surface, but what was interesting was if you were to fish a fly line that stays up near the surface, a lot of guys would normally think, look at all these birds flying, and look at you. We have 6 or 8 or 10 fish on the surface feeding, but if you went with a sinking line that went down deeper, for every fish or two that you saw on top, you saw 100 times that many on your electronics.
Certainly.
My hummingbird just lit up yesterday.
Oh,
and
boy.
We had a blackout screen of fish. We had hundreds and hundreds of fish under the boat. It was fantastic. The whole thing lasted an hour. And it was just glorious on Lake Lanier. Is fishing so wonderfully right now. So the winter bite is as good as it gets. More importantly, I talked to our buddies up at Unicoi Outfitters, Jimmy Harris and Jake Jordan, and Jake Darling, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And those guys said that the North Georgia streams are fishing really, really well, not only for trout, but their shoal bass fishing up there has been off the charts. So they're fishing shoal bass with crankbaits, and they're getting 17-plus inch shoal bass,
which is
really marvelous. Jake had a trip the other day. He told me that in the first, there was about a 300-yard stretch, and they had 15 fish in the first 300 yards on crankbaits. They ended up with 45 shoal bass, of which about 15 of them went over 17 inches. That's great fishing up for North Georgia.
You bet it is.
But the trout fishing up there has been good. And then I spoke to our buddies at the Fishhawk, mm-hmm. and Gary Merriman and the boys down there said that the trout god of Atlanta had just stocked Pace's Mill the week before last, and that the late harvest fishing down in Metro Atlanta is tremendous, thanks to our folks at the Department of Natural Resources and doing what they do. So
wonderful.
We have great fishing right now. The winter fishery is great. And other than that, I'm getting ready for show season. I'm flying up to New York next week. I do my Jersey fly show, then back down the week after for the Atlanta fly show. And then after that, I'm going to be down hitting the Gold Coast. I'm coastal North Carolina and doing the Cape Lookout Fly Fisher show down there. So just we're in the midst of show season now, so
yes,
I'm going to be doing a little bit less fishing.
Well, it's a good time to do less sometimes.
It's a great time.
Except for the report that you just gave us.
Well, yeah, the fishing is great. But, you know, that's okay. We take a little bit of a break. You know, when I get down to North Carolina in third week of February, I'm doing coastal North Carolina. I wonder if I'll get to see Don from Ocean Isle, North Carolina.
I hope
love
so.
Love to meet that guy.
Well, he hadn't called today. But he usually does, and he may, but I would like for you to be able to meet him. He's a great guy.
He seems like an awfully great guy.
He's a knowledgeable fisherman.
And that's about it. That's what
we got enough,
going. So we've got a lot
sakes.
Going on.
Yeah, I hope you have some great trips. Gail and I will be out next week at the SHOT Show, but we'll be back here for the show on Saturday.
Now, where's that being? Is that going to be out in Salt Lake, or is that in Vegas?
It's in Las Vegas.
Okay,
it's
very good.
It's the biggest gun show in the world.
Well, Super Bowl weekend, which is February 3rd, is Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. So February 1st and February 2nd, we have the Atlanta Fly Fishing Show at the Infinity Energy Center. So any of the listeners can come down there on Friday and Saturday. And everything and anything they want to learn about fly fishing will be available at that show with demonstrations and presentations and kids tying flies. It's really interactive, and it's a great, great show. And the best fly fishers from around the country will be flying into Atlanta that weekend.
Good
so
deal.
Friday, Saturday, Feb 1 and 2. Yeah, good,
top,
good time.
Top quality
fly.
Stuff.
Top yes,
quality.
It is.
All right, my good friend.
Have a safe trip next week at the SHOT Show, and I'll speak to you guys the week after.
You bet. I'll see you soon, pal. There you go. All right. Anything on Facebook, darling?
No, not really. Just people saying good morning, and where they're we have somebody in the North Country.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what that would mean. That just up north somewhere.
Could be just a couple of miles north.
Could be. Yeah, you never know. David Newcomb is sitting in the parking lot at work, waiting to go into work a few hours, and we have someone from Jasper. Mm-hmm. Imagine that.
How about that?
That's where we are. The address anyway.
How far would you say it is for us to drive to Jasper?
17 miles.
17 miles. So
down a mountain road.
Yeah. We got a new truck. Got a new Toyota yesterday. Mm-hmm. And sweet. Whoa, the thing drives sweet.
It's exactly like
the previous
one you had
one.
Before.
Yeah, right.
Should we tell what happened when you went to pick it up? The one they were going to give you?
Oh, yeah. They were going to give me Travis's old truck.
Travis
drove
got
it
a
out
new one, too.
They drove it out, and here's your new truck. And I opened the door, and I thought, boy, they hadn't kept this truck up very well. It doesn't even have 1 mile on it. But, no, that was Travis's old truck with about 30,000 on it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we got a new truck yesterday, and I'm amazed at the amount of stuff that can get in a in the console.
Oh, my word. Yes.
I mean, when I emptied that console and changed it over to this other truck, the junk must have weighed 30 pounds.
Did you put it back in the truck?
Yeah, I just transferred it back to the new truck. I've got batteries and flashlights. I've got...
I know you've got some lures in there that have hooks on them.
I've got some...
I have to be very careful.
I've got two Southern Grind knives in there, a black and tan jackal.
Oh, gosh.
And a bad monkey. I love the names that...
A bad monkey.
Yeah, a bad monkey. That's... Zach Brown gives names to all his knives. That knife. As a matter of fact, you know, I read.
That's pretty good. Bad monkey.
Yeah, the that's what I give. You know, I gave away a bad monkey in the first half of the show. You like that?
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, that's a pretty good name. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a bad monkey. And so everything has to have a name.
I agree.
I wonder if the camera can see this.
Yeah, that's the junk I've been complaining about on your desk.
Well, I know. I'm sorry. I'll get to it. Look at this thing right
here.
Well,
now radio listeners can't see that.
Well, I know, but the television audience can see it.
That's not a knife. Huh? That's a sword.
Boy, look at this thing. Isn't that something?
Wow.
He makes good stuff down there.
Yes, he does. Yes, that... What would be an application for that?
Cutting somebody's head off.
Well, that, yeah.
Could cut a bad monkey head
off with that.
Heavy duty stuff. Heavy, you know, like a machete.
Yeah.
The thing is, it's razor sharp.
Yeah.
And it will be.
You're going to get hurt.
Not me. I'm careful.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm careful. There you are. What a great knife. Anyway, that's what's on the desk.
Well, keep that
stuff on the desk. Lures, worms. I just got a new shipment of worms.
That's just what you needed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tim Hamby sent me some worms.
Okay.
Let's see. 35 after the hour, 404-872-0750-800-972-8255. We're practicing. Ready?
What are we practicing?
We're practicing.
I thought it always was.
Yeah, this is nothing but practice. All right, tell me who this is at 35 after the hour. Tell me who this guy is. He was born in a farmhouse in Pennsylvania in 1902.
Davy Crockett.
Pretty good guess. He worked as a glue maker for the Chrysler Company from 1929 to 1933, and with a partner by the name of Chuck, who worked at the same plant, they scraped together $1,200 and opened a bow business. They built archery equipment in their garage in 1933. And to save money, he and his wife lived in a tent in Michigan on the river. To save money so he could expand his archery business. Who is it? Woohoo! All right, well, don't tell everybody. 404-872. There are no prizes for that. I just thought you might want to tell me who this guy is. These things are interesting, I think. 36 after the hour. And when we return, we'll have the most popular portion of the program, that being the Medal of Honor tribute. We'll have the Medal of Honor tribute when we come back. Oh, gosh, I've got to get out. I'll be back. This is O'Neill.
Honor, courage, and strength of character. These qualities are embodied by the recipients of the Medal of Honor. Now let's recognize this week's Medal of Honor recipient on O'Neill Outside.
Medal of Honor recipient... Major Kern Dunnigan, Army, Vietnam, May 1969. Major Dunnigan was leading an attack when his company came under intense fire from a well-entrenched enemy battalion. Despite continuous fire, Major Dunnigan repeatedly and fearlessly exposed himself in order to locate enemy positions, direct friendly supporting artillery, and position his men of his company. In the early evening, he was seriously wounded in a mortar attack, but he refused to leave the battlefield and continued to supervise the evacuation of the dead and wounded and to lead his command. In spite of painful wounds and extreme fatigue, Major Dunnigan risked heavy fire on two occasions to rescue critically wounded men. He was again seriously wounded, but undaunted, he successfully extricated his men. He learned that a six-man party from his company was under fire and had not reached the safety perimeter. Major Dunnigan unhesitatingly went back and searched for his men. Finding one soldier critically wounded, Major Dunnigan, ignoring his own wounds, lifted the man to his shoulders and carried him to the safety of the friendly perimeter. Before himself permitting himself to be evacuated, he ensured all of his wounded were removed from the area.
Another hero.
And this was a hero.
This was World War II, correct?
It's Vietnam.
Oh, Vietnam, okay.
Vietnam. And I understand from other brief conversations I've had that the North Vietnamese and the VC were outstanding soldiers.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I did not know that.
They were outstanding soldiers. So the Americans, the Allies, were up against a formidable foe.
Yeah. I did not know. These were not aware of that.
Like the Japanese.
Yeah.
Japanese were outstanding soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, 42 after the hour. We've got a question out there about a fellow that started an archery company in Michigan and lived in a tent with his wife to save his money to expand his business. And here is Steve, and he's calling from somewhere in Florida. Good morning, Steve.
Hi, good morning. I'm calling from Palm Harbor, Florida.
Palm Harbor, mighty fine. I love Florida. Are you a Florida native?
I am not. I'm originally from Indiana, but
okay.
I flew south because I'm smarter than a duck. And we hope it gets cold and sends some ducks down to us. We got about 2 weeks
yes,
left
indeed.
In our season.
Yeah, when there's nothing to, when it's cold up there and icy and there's nothing to eat, they fly south, don't they?
Yes, last year is the best year we've had. When 6 inches of snow hit South Carolina, we had the best season in a long time. The answer to your question is Fred Bear.
Yes, how about that?
I'm not an archery hunter, but I'm an outdoor advocate and love your show. I've been listening for over 19 years.
Thank you.
And you're coming in crystal clear on 7:50 a.m. And I encourage everybody to take a kid fishing or hunting when they get this weekend or soon.
Mm-hmm.
And happy New Year to you and your wife.
Thank you very much. You're very kind to be a longtime listener and contributing to the show. I appreciate that. Very kind comments. And Palm Harbor, right?
Correct.
Okay, I hope you're covered up with ducks real soon.
Well, we would like some bluebills coming this morning. Thanks
so
much. Have a good day.
Good luck to you, pal.
You too.
There you go. Okay, let's see. It's 44 after the hour. We've got time for this. Hey, here's our buddy from West Virginia. Here's Richard calling from West Virginia on O'Neill Outside. Good morning, Richard.
There he is.
Hey, yes, indeed.
You know, when they have the one thing I didn't call about this, but since you had just had the Medal of Honor winner, which you have every week.
Yes.
And I just wonder, what inspired you to do something like that? How did you even think of doing? Well, I guess that's a word. What inspired you to do something like that?
Okay, I'm glad you asked. I've stated this before, but repeating myself is no burden for me. 6 or 8 years ago. Whenever, it doesn't matter, a very popular entertainer by the name of Whitney Houston, an outstanding actress, singer, very, very popular. And she died in her hotel room, evidently, I wasn't there, evidently from some kind of drug-induced stupor, and she drowned in her bathtub. That's too bad. But she was given honors of half, well, the flags were flown at half staff in New Jersey. And that made me mad. Here we are honoring, and that's okay by me, you don't get me wrong. Here we are honoring a drug-drowned entertainer with half-staff flag flying, when indeed there are hundreds and hundreds of true heroes, and nobody knows their names.
Well,
that's why I started it.
Yeah, I can understand that. I just must have missed that part. I didn't hear you say it.
Well, that's okay. I don't mind.
Okay. Yeah, you're probably right there. As far as I was just interested in certain, well, just say like our last person from who was from Indiana, that I guess ducks fly south, but you'll see like birds. So I guess that's all true. I don't know if that's what you call a wives' tale or not. Because say, like, for a robin, for example, you don't see any in this little town I live in called Wheeling, West Virginia. You don't see them around here now. You don't see them until the spring comes. So is that what they do? They actually, that type of bird, and there's a lot of other ones. I guess bluebirds, you don't see any of them. Do all of those actually fly south? Is that what
they
do?
I would not say that all of them do, but most do, yes. Most birds, well, they can stand the cold, okay, but they can't stand not being without food. Food is what drives them south. If it did not, for instance, the Indiana, Michigan, Ohio, if it did not snow or freeze up, the ducks would stay there. But when the ponds freeze over, and the fields are snow-covered, there's nothing to eat, so they fly south.
So the robins in particular, they just feast on worms? Because you see that a lot of times. Is that the problem right there? Because there's really no nightcrawlers or any kind of worms available. That's why they have to fly to Palm Harbor or wherever they go.
That is correct. They fly for food, and a great number of animals do that.
A great number of birds.
Well, you know, something like a bear, he's not going to migrate. He'll hibernate, and when he runs out of food, he just goes to sleep.
Well, the squirrels do what you hear. What I've heard them say forever, they just gather up their nuts and put them in some kind of part of a tree or something. Is that what they do? That you don't
that
see
is correct.
That time of the year either.
That is correct. Mice. Squirrels, all of the yes, ma'am.
Typically under our hot tub.
Yeah.
And they
have
the wires as well.
We have a hot tub here on the deck that we use probably once a year, and that is an outstanding place for the squirrels and mice to get up underneath the hot tub, and that's where they spend the winter.
Okay, they spend it
chewing the wires.
Yeah, mice love to chew the wires.
Thanks, O'Neill.
Okay, glad you called, Richard. Have a great weekend, pal. And there we go.
Do
always
you have time for
call.
A question?
It's 49 after the hour. Yes, ma'am.
You do have? Okay. Let me see. It was someone wants to know, I think he's saying, have you ever fished Jackson Lake and the rivers around it in Butts County?
Butts County. Is that just Jackson Lake, just south of, is that Butts County?
I think it is.
Okay.
Some of it anyway, or it's close.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, I've fished Jackson Lake, and interesting that you bring that up. To me, in years past, and I hadn't been on Jackson in a long, long time, Jackson Lake was and continues to be certainly an extremely fertile lake. It's not much bigger than a flooded cow track. It's only like 4,000 acres. But it was backed up in the late 1917, 1918. So it's a real, real old lake. It was called, The dam is called Lloyd Shoals Dam, and it backed up a couple of rivers there, and it's been there for a long, long time. It's very fertile. Here's the best time, which might be a surprise to you, to fish Jackson Lake. Ready? When the water temperature, when they bring the water level down a little bit, like 4 to 6 feet, you can fish the points between Waters Bridge and the power lines. There's 6 or 8 points on both sides of the narrow part of the river there, narrow part of the lake. Fish with big crankbaits on the sides of the points, way out so that your lure is 6 or 8 feet deep. And I'm telling you, you can get your string stretched at Jackson Lake. It's an outstanding lake. That was the last lake I fell in during a tournament.
That means that you've fallen in other...
Yeah, I have okay. fallen in other lakes plenty yeah, of times. Okay. But that was the last one that I fell in during
you.
A tournament.
I don't know if I'd tell that or not.
What happened was, I was fishing in a tournament, and I think, what do you call that? That little water turtle with the painted back. His back is blue and yellow and green. I think it's called a Buford turtle, a Branson
turtle.
You have
to ask Milton about that.
Whatever. And one of them came to the surface right next to the boat. And I thought, man, I got to take a look at this little guy. He wasn't much bigger than a 50-cent piece. I never told you this story, did I?
I don't remember this one.
And I reached down in the water. I was, you know, in the bass boat. And I reached down to get him. Because he's not going to hurt you or anything. I reached down to get him because I wanted to take a good close look at him. And that was when a wave hit the boat. And the next thing to hit the water was my face.
Was it wintertime?
Went straight over.
Was it wintertime?
No, it was a summertime tournament. So okay. I fished the rest of the day.
Good.
So 52 after the hour, 53 after the hour now. I'm sorry.
I don't think that was funny.
A Branson turtle. I can't remember. Yeah. It's a painted back turtle. They're real pretty. And he's a saltwater guy.
You were in saltwater when that happened?
Did I say saltwater?
You sure did.
See, I've got, you know, my brain is just fried. I don't know.
It's because there's a lot of knowledge up there.
You think so?
That's what I've heard.
Okay.
No, seriously.
It's all right with me.
Not just you, but,
oh,
you know.
It's everybody.
Huh? Yeah, everybody.
Okay, we've had a full show, and we've got a couple of more minutes to go. It's 53 and a half minutes after the hour. This is O'Neill Outside, Saturday mornings on WSB and the SB Nation Sports Radio Network. And we'll be back.
News 95.5 and AM 750, WSB.
Good morning, Mike Hayes.
Good morning. Did he save the turtle or did he squish the turtle?
I don't think he ever got his hands on the turtle.
Good morning, Woman Williams.
Oh, it's good to hear from you today.
Yes, ma'am.
I was going to tell you, I was out and about on the other side of town the other day, and my key fob quit working on my Chrysler 300. So I had to very rapidly find me a Chrysler dealership. Sorry, but I had to, because I don't know how to change the battery. And so while they were, you know, fixing the battery, I was looking around, and I noticed that I did not realize there were so many sizes of the RAM.
Oh, yes. The new one is 1500 is out with the new body style.
Uh-huh.
And now they have just released the new 25 heavy duties, 2500 and 3500 with the new body style. And a high output coming diesel. It's just absolutely going to be awesome, and we got orders on them now, so it's going to be good.
Is this the first diesel that Ram has had?
No, this is just the new diesel. It's got 1,000 pounds of torque to get that payload started, and you can haul in the back of it. You know, 7,700 pounds if you want to.
Grief.
Or if you're pulling a big old trailer.
Yeah.
You can pull 36,000 pounds. It's just humongous.
Yes, I noticed when I was looking around.
Yeah,
quite impressive. Okay, so have you got some over there in Lawrenceville?
We just been able to order them last week, so we put a bunch of orders in. And if somebody wants the first one, they could, you know, come in and order one just like they want and could show them off real good.
Okay.
So it's going to be something else.
They come in and take a look at that and get a O'Neill Outside hat. All they have to do is stop in. Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to let you run, and now you have a warm weekend.
All right. See you. Be careful.
See you, honey.
Bye-bye.
There's something so unique about a business built on family. It is nurturing with a level of care, dedication, and respect that sets it apart. Hi, I'm Monica Kaufman Pearson, and for almost 40 years, I worked for a family-owned business, WSB-TV. And that's what I found when I walked into Woodstock Furniture and Mattress Outlet, a family-owned and operated business that started out 30 years ago as a small variety store in the heart of Georgia. They pride themselves on selling better quality furniture at lower prices. But what I discovered is that the heart of their business is the desire to serve you, the customer. Woodstock Furniture and Mattress Outlet provides a friendly, laid-back atmosphere with hands-on customer service. It's a one-of-a-kind shopping experience with great deals on everything you could need for your home. Woodstock Furniture and Mattress Outlet found the secret to success. It's you, the customer. Stop by one of their 7 convenient locations today to experience the Woodstock difference. Visit WoodstockOutlet.com. For a location nearest you.
Okay, 57 after the hour. We've almost done another 2 hours of outdoors. Welcome again to WEEI in Boston, the number one sports broadcast radio network in the country, and we're welcoming them along with our SB Nation. O'Neill Outside Radio now is, after 27 years, is truly national and worldwide. And a couple of things, self-promotion before I quit, and that is visit O'NeillOutside.com. There you'll have an opportunity to try some of the new O'Neill Outside Real Lubes, gun oils, gun cleaners, and deck cleaners made from biofuels. They last longer. They're more gentle with your equipment. There is no odor, and they're selling like mad. I hope you'll take an opportunity to order some. Give it a try. I think I've had opportunity to put my name on those things before, but I waited to choose to. It was a biofuel. It's not an oil-based. It's fruit, vegetables, something like that. And visit O'Neill Outside for the Southern Grind Guestbook. Leave your comment, leave your question. If we use it on the radio show, and we designate that as a prize winner, and on the television show, the prize winner there for a Southern Grind knife. Some outstanding, and you can visit O'Neill Outside Facebook page, watch the show, and next week we're going to talk more about the VOD networks. Now, what is that? That's the Video On Demand Networks. And O'Neill Outside is on those networks now. The GONE, Gone TV, Outdoor Action, Gen 7, Waypoint TV, Hunt Channel, and many, many others. This is O'Neill. So for Woman Williams and Jason Byers, Karen and Brian Green, have a great weekend. We'll see you next week.
The whole day through,
the whole day,
just an old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind.
WSBB-FM Doraville, a Cox Media Group station.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.